Good morning and welcome to KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and what a lovely late summer morning it is. We've got one of our most favorite programs happening this morning, and that is our most favorite Garden Life. Normally, that's me, Julie Calamine, and my co-host, Julie Prochinski. Julie is away today, so we'll miss her this month, but we will catch up with her next month. And before I introduce our morning's guests, I'd like to do a quick weather report. Weather relates to Garden Life, it really does. Well, it's looking like a great week here in Sandpoint, and we're going to have today hazy sun, and it is hazy. As I drove into town, I saw smoke coming in from the north. Hazy sun is what they're calling it, high of 86, then cooling off tonight as it's been doing, low of 52. And I'll summarize the week by saying it's more or less that every day. We're having highs in the middle 80s, except for Thursday, but highs in the middle 80s, high 70s, and lows in the 50s and 40s. What great late summer weather. Well, without further ado, I would like to introduce our morning's guests, and they're really good ones. We've got two gals who are very interested in gardens and gardening, and the first one is Robin Roberts, and Robin is the owner of Flowers from the Heart. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you here. And our second guest this morning is Karen Bennett. And Karen, you are the newly minted president of the Bonner County Gardeners Association.
Yes,
welcome.
I am. Thank
yes, you.
You
are. So nice to have you. Full disclosure, I'm a member, so I haven't run into you yet, but I'm sure we will be talking at some point. Wonderful. Well, we're going to talk about two things this morning, and the first one is cut flowers and flower gardening, the ornamental kind of gardening, and we're going to start with Robin. But that doesn't mean Karen can't pop in with a comment if she feels like it, because I think you're both pretty well-versed in both flowers and veggies. Well, Robin, let's start by finding out a little bit about you. Tell us your background, how you got interested in your kind of ornamental gardening and cut flowers, and how you came to be here in Sandpoint.
Well, I've been in Sandpoint over 40 years, and I came here from Utah. I came to visit, and I stayed. And I was raised pretty much by a grandmother that was a flower grower. So my whole life I've been a lover of flowers. Originally, I did grow vegetables for some years, and we switched to flowers because there were a lot of vegetable growers and no flower growers. So, and since then, we've been growing just flowers in Sandpoint.
And for how long has that been?
I've been growing flowers, growing in Bonner County for over 35 years.
Oh my goodness, that's a long time. And so your background is from just family gardening, and you just took it, you took it and ran, and you've been a flower gardener ever since.
I have been, actually.
Yeah, and you're a familiar face at the Sandpoint Farmers Market.
I am.
Yes, tell us about that.
Well, I joined the market in the second year that it was open, then I did sell vegetables, and I don't know how many years we tried to do vegetables, and we decided at one point when everybody else was selling vegetables that we would switch and add flowers to the market. And ever since then, we've been doing the farmer's market twice a week in Sandpoint, and I just sell flowers now.
Yes, beautiful flowers. I've seen them. Well, the topic today is late summer and early fall garden care, and that's often a topic here on Garden Life. We like to get into the practicalities of what's happening in the gardens, and so I'm going to ask you, in your garden, in the flowers, what kind of care are the flowers receiving now, late summer, early fall? What does that look like?
Well, we had a really late spring, as everybody knows. And so now everything is blooming on the farm all at once. And we cut every day of the week because we try to cut the flowers when they're perfect quality. And it's a little crazy. We cut in the morning and the evening only. And we cut until it gets too warm and then we stop. And then we start in the afternoon, early evening and cut more if we haven't cut the flowers that need to be cut for the day.
Yeah, I suppose. And it's maybe for two reasons. It's hot to be out in the garden, and I suppose those flowers probably don't want to cut them midday. It's so hot, they might be drooping.
Yeah, the flowers, when they're too warm, they take the sugar up from the stem. Then there's nothing to hold the flower or maintain the flower's life. So we cut them when they're cool, and we put them right in water. We take them into a flower shop and take the field heat off. Then we put them in flower food, water with flower food, and we put them in a walk-in cooler. And that's where we keep them until we need to use them.
Yeah, nice. And Karen, I would say you might have a similar thing to say about veggies. We don't do too much cutting of veggies in the middle of the day, do we?
No.
No.
I try to harvest mostly in the morning.
Right.
For the exact same reasons.
And lettuce. Boy, talk about lettuce. Picking that the wrong time of the day, you can get some bitter-tasting lettuce. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Well, Robin, let's come back to flowers and talk about, well, some of the basics, like fertilizing. Are we still fertilizing flowers this time of the year?
Well, we will foliar feed now, but when we plant the garden, we're no-till. And so when we plant the garden, every row we use a broad fork, and every row we put a pelleted organic fertilizer and bone meal. And we plant every single row in those two elements. And then as the year goes on, if something is struggling, you know, we can tell by the color of the leaf or the flower, the longevity of the plant, then we'll fertilize again.
Okay. And that takes some experience, I would think. Not everybody would notice exactly what's going on with every single plant.
Well, every year we test grow some things, but we grow, you know, basic cut flowers that produce a lot of color every year. We do standard flowers that we love, and some of them we understand and some of them are new to us, but you know, we've been doing it a long time, and you can tell by looking at them if they're happy or sad, or you know, if they're going to thrive.
Yeah.
some things don't thrive as well as others, but some years are better than others. But this is an incredible year for bloom, and we'll have bloom till frost.
Oh, boy. And what are some of your favorite flowers? I think listeners would like to know what works well in this area.
Well, we do a lot of different flowers. We do sell to the florists, and we do a lot of other work. And so we adore dahlias. We start with peonies. It's a big crop for us in the spring. Lilies, foxglove, coneflowers, quite a big variety. Gladiolas, zinnias, asters. Pretty much anything that we can grow. We grow cut flower varieties that are all at least 4 feet tall. We try to shoot for something with a long stem. And most of the garden is at least 4 feet, maybe to, as soon as the sunflowers come on, we've got them seeded. We've planted them late. And then they'll probably be 10 feet. If we've got some big ones, that'll come on. So everything's pretty tall right now.
Oh, I bet.
And blooming, like, it's beautiful. It's incredible bloom this year. So we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah,
with the flowers.
I believe it. Karen, I know you're not only a vegetable garden. What are some of your favorite late summer flowers?
This year, the sunflowers, as you said, they're approaching 10 feet, and they're just covered with bumblebees and honeybees and lots of pollinators. So it's a beautiful place to be.
And some of the coneflowers are so pretty right now, too. I saw a solid red one, guys, that I don't think I've seen before, or almost solid red. I love that one. Maybe it's a daisy. I don't know. I think it's a coneflower. Maybe it's a daisy. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? That perfectly red one.
And it's called crimson.
Nice.
It's a beautiful red coneflower.
Yes, I want that plant. Which leads me to ask you one more question, Robin. Do you sell plants or only cut flowers? I always cut flowers.
We do sell plants. We sell peony plants in the spring, and we sell bedding plants, but flowering plants at the farmer's market and from the farm in the spring and into summer. This year was a late year, so dahlia bulbs and all kinds of little plants and bulbs, anything pretty much we're growing on the farm, we try to bring them to market.
Yeah, and, nice.
And show other people what they can grow in Sandpoint, because a lot of people don't think that they can grow a lot of things, and there's so many things that thrive here. So we try really hard in the spring to share those plants with people, and then when it gets too hot, it's tough to transplant. We do succession plant in the garden, so we plant late crops so that we'll have crops through frost. We've got some wedding work, some late weddings. Then we plant specifically for those brides. If it's late, we try to plant later crops so that they're blooming perfect at that time. But pretty much we try to plant everything that will bloom all summer, and the more you cut them, the more they bloom. So then we have so many flowers that we can choose from, because you need a lot. I like a lot of variety. My youngest daughter runs the farm with me, Kalika, and we cut them all, and we work in the flower shop and put them together as bouquets and then try to sell them or give them away.
Yeah. Do either of you have formal training in arrangements, floral arrangements?
I just took a class this spring, I'm so happy to say, from a gentleman that owns the Flower Hat in Bozeman, Montana. It was an unbelievable experience. Anytime we find classes or anything that we can be involved in that are available, we'll try to register for them and get into them. It's not the place, Sandpoint, it's a tough place because there's not a lot of that available, but there is all around us, and we're always looking for something new and something creative that we can learn. It is an industry that changes constantly, so we're trying to keep up with what's going on in the flower world and trends. And we try to create things for people that they dream up or that they want. Sometimes those flowers exist and sometimes they don't, but we do the best we can. We can usually pull off things with the garden that we try not to buy. We just try to grow what we use, and if we have to buy flowers, we will. But
yeah, very neat. And Karen, one thing I do know about the Bonner County Gardeners Association is that they are really a helpful collegial group. I wonder if y'all talk about floral arrangements. It seems like that would come up with that group.
We haven't yet, but we need to. Because like Robin, I started with vegetables and fruits, and I'm migrating towards flowers. So,
yes, neat. Something to come, maybe. Maybe that'll show up on a Wednesday night classroom in the summer.
That would be a great idea.
We'll hope for that for another year. Well, we've talked about happy flowers, but there are times when our flowers aren't that happy. And my thermometer this morning, I can't believe it, said 37. So that would be a topic. Do you work with coverings? What do you do when the frosty nights start coming?
Well, we do certain crops, especially if they're crops that we have sold or picked for brides or for someone special. We do use frost cloth. We do protect them. It's a big garden. It's an acre of cut flowers, so we kind of have to pick and choose what we cover. Some of the rows are longer than others. I, too, live by the thermometer now. That 37 degrees kind of scares me.
Me too.
I don't think I had that on the farm, but usually if where I am situated, if I can make it through that first frost that we always have in the fall, then I've got a month and a half more of growing season. And some years we've cut into November, which is kind of scary because then we have to put the garden to bed. But, you know, all in all, if we can get it through that first frost, then we're good to go for the rest of the fall.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to live, isn't it? I moved from Minnesota a number of years ago, and it didn't really seem to be that way. We could get away without a frost often until late September, but here it just seems like one wants to sneak in when you're least expecting it. It really does. Well, so frost protection is important for flowers, and what kind of pests are you dealing with at this time of the year? Are they mostly controlled, or do they just go on and on and on?
Well, it has been a really tough year for pests, garden bugs. We've had pests this year that I've never had ever. And so we've done a lot of reading and investigating. We definitely have been spraying. We rotate three different sprays. And yes, I am still spraying because I don't want the bugs to come back. You have to spray and then spray again. And we follow all the directions. And one week it's safer soap, one week it's neem, and then we're spraying a new bioinsecticide that we'll get rid of. We have thrip this spring, which we've never had. It's a terrible pest on the whole garden. And it's been a really tough year for everybody in this industry, aphids. And I think it's the wet spring and then the really hot summer. I don't know, but we've managed to get everything under control. I have friends that are in the flower world as well, and we are all frightened at first. And so we share this information between all of us. And I think everybody's pretty much got it under control now. I know that a couple of the nurseries are still dealing with aphids and bugs in fruit. And I think that's just part of our season. You know, every time we see a bug, then we realize that we have to spray too. So we keep an eye on everything every day.
Sounds like you're really on top of it. And I didn't hear really any pesticide, chemical pesticide in your battery of things to fight the bugs. So good for you.
No, the farm is organic, and we don't use anything. We have well water. We don't put anything on the ground or anything on the plants that we couldn't eat. Actually, I wouldn't want to eat safer soap, but there's certain things that we absolutely do not use. And if we have pests and they're too bad, then we'll take the plants out because then we run the risk of them infecting everybody else. So
yeah,
It's constant. This has been definitely been the toughest year for us with bug control and pest control. But we've got it figured out finally, which is great because flowers, we want to keep cutting them. And yeah. If they have bugs, we don't sell anything with bugs or bug bites. So,
right. We want them looking good. No one wants bugs jumping off their bouquet. Karen, what are you dealing with in the garden in terms of bugs? Are you on pest control at the moment?
Absolutely. Always on pest control. I think, and I can add to your list of insects at the moment, is spider mites too, which I that's a problem, especially in the greenhouse. They particularly like the greenhouse, and I use just Dawn dish soap and water mostly for those, and that seems to work, as well as the cabbage butterflies on all my brassicas. And I use organic BT spinosad. That usually works for those. Plus, I used to pay my children 5 cents for every butterfly they caught. I got them butterfly nets, so they had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, hopefully the friendly ones got released.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because we don't want those cabbage ones. No, we do not want cabbage moths. Well, all right. Another topic is fall, late summer. We're trying not to call it fall yet, but late summer is a time for some trimming and some thinning and maybe some planting of your perennials for next year. What's on your agenda for
Absolutely.
Those?
We have a huge project. We're moving a lot of peonies because they don't need a fence. The deer don't eat them. So we are planting a new peony bed in the middle of the yard because we can. And it's a great time to plant perennials. And we don't seed in the fall generally, but bulbs and things like that. We do grow anemones and ranunculus, and those either have to be lifted or you can buy new bulbs every year. But we have a root cellar, so we store everything. We dig the dahlias, we dig the gladiolas, anemones, ranunculus, and store them for the winter and then take them out in the spring. So right now it's a pretty big time for us to plant and move and storage. And I'm always looking for new perennials to plant. We add things every year. So we've been at the nursery, actually, lately, looking at things we don't have, increasing things that we have but maybe need more to cut. And we're always looking for more greens because we use a lot of greens on the farm. So every year it's a little different, but it's the same process in the fall. We're still cutting, and we still are weeding because our weeds were pretty epic this year. And now we're starting to cut back some of the perennials, and it's a good time to plant those now. Get them situated and get them comfortable in the ground before it does frost and before the snow.
Right. It's not very damp yet, but that should be coming, and those transplanted plants will appreciate it. You know, I'm wondering if you're a seed saver. Do you collect seeds from your annuals?
We do. We save a lot of seeds. Our favorites, absolutely. Nigella, we have a lot of different flowers that we grow. Cerinthy, oh gosh, everything. I don't generally save sunflower seeds and the zinnia seeds. We're pretty picky about varieties and colors, and we do purchase a lot of seeds in the spring. But anything that we can save, we've got poppies that we've got stored already. The nigella are stored already. As things start to go off, we let them seed in the garden. Some are incredible pods that you can use for dried arrangements, or you can add to fresh flower arrangements. And our favorites we definitely save. From year to year, we pick colors that we really love, and then we tag them or keep them in the garden because we know there's something we really want to save. Try not to cut them. Let them seed. And calendula, there's certain cut flower varieties that we adore, and we save the best seeds, actually, because we want them for the next year.
Yeah, if they've turned out well, I can see that. Well, I'm going to ask you both to share with me, in terms of flowers, some of your favorite plants. And we've got three categories. This was done by Julie. For the landscape in your landscaping beds, and then also for shade and sun, because some of our... I think that can be challenging for listeners to understand, all gardeners to understand what plant really belongs where. But what are a couple of your favorites for in that landscaping bed?
Well, I adore peonies. It's a plant that only blooms in the spring. You only get the flowers in the spring, but it's beautiful foliage. And as I said, a lot of the deer and the moose don't eat them. So most of our property at the farm is not fenced. We grow a lot of different things that are mainstays for us. You know, they're my goal is to get flowers to bloom from the spring to the fall. So we add perennials that bloom on, and then when one's finished, one starts again. And then the annuals come in there because bang for the buck. You put them in those spots, they bloom all summer, they add that color, they fill in the empty spots, and it makes a complete garden. That way we have flowers all around the house and then in the cut flower garden until frost is what we, that's our goal.
Yeah, a nice combination. And some of us might think that perennials aren't as much work as annuals, but they take some care and attention too, don't they?
Perennials attract quackgrass and attract weeds like annuals do not. And so it is a digging. Sometimes we dig them out. We pull all the grass out. We replant them. We did a lot of that this year because we've got such an issue with grass and weeds in the garden. We're still doing it, actually. When things get really big, you can divide them. We divide and share. I have dear friends, ladies in the garden club, and they come to the farm, and we absolutely, and they'll share with me as well. And I've gotten many things in my garden because of that gifting back and forth. So that's a blessing of it, because we all have something different. And if we all share it, then we all have gorgeous things in our garden, you know.
Yes, yes, I couldn't agree more. Karen, do you have a few favorite landscaping flowers?
I do. This year, especially my crocosmia, very bright red crocosmia that the hummingbirds loved. And actually one of my favorite surprising flowers this year is pomegranate. It's a hardy pomegranate that I have. And the hummingbirds adored those. And they just bloomed. They're still blooming and setting pomegranate. So
wow.
I moved that one inside in the winter. But it spends the summers outside. And it was one of my favorites this year.
And do they make actual pomegranates?
They do. I've had them for 4 years, and this is the first year they set little pomegranates. I think
Whoa.
It's because this first year that the hummingbirds pollinated them. So
maybe so.
I don't know.
We'll have to talk about that after the show. I'd like to try and find one. I would bring that indoors to have my own pomegranate. Sounds great.
That's beautiful.
Really does. Well, one last topic that I don't think we've covered with you, Robin, is just the pruning of the perennials. Are most of yours just cut to the ground, or is there do you also have some shaping? How do you do it out there?
We do shape, and when we cut in the spring and lavender and things like that are bushy, if you cut those after they're flowered and shape them, then the next spring it's not the time to prune some of those things in the spring because they have already set little buds. A lot of the crops do go to the ground because in the spring it's so much easier for us to put those flowers to bed in the fall, and then we mulch the beds. Some things, tree peonies, some things we do not cut to the ground. We don't touch them, actually. They're woody stem. Anything that's a woody stem that we grow. Lilacs, those hydrangeas, you know, we can shape them. The deer actually are shaping them for us this year. But we do all that in the fall, so in the spring they're ready to go because we have so much work in the spring. And if we wait, we can't. And then you cut back too late, then you cut the flowers. So, yeah, it's that's part of the biggest part of the farm, I think, is cutting down for the winter because there's a lot of flowers, a lot of beds. We cut everything down. We take everything out of the cut flower garden, and we mulch every row and put it to bed in the winter so that in the spring, you know, we've been working on worms. We have a lot of worms, and we try to cover every bed and everything that we do so that in the spring it's ready to plant.
Yeah.
It's protected from the winter.
Lots of work.
It is a lot of work.
Lots of work in the fall. Fall is a busy time when you're a flower gardener and also a vegetable gardener. Well, I think we've covered the topics Julie P. asked for us to. And so with that, I'm going to take a short song break, and then we're going to come back and hear more from Karen Bennett. And the song, upcoming song, is Wake Me Up When September Ends. And that was Green Day, Wake Me Up When September Ends. And this is the KRFY morning show, Tuesday morning show. This is Julie Calamine. I'm your Tuesday morning show host. And normally on the first Tuesday of the month, I'm joined by Julie Perchinsky. She wasn't able to make it today, but she will be here next month. And I have to give her hats off for organizing a great morning show today. Our Garden Life once per month. And we started the morning with a really wonderful gal. Robin Roberts was telling us about her work with cut flowers and her time at the Sandpoint Farmers Market and many things about growing cut flowers and perennials. So we've had a good first part of our morning, and now we're going to bring in, we've already introduced her, but we're going to bring her back in again. And this is Karen Bennett. Karen, you are the new, pretty new president of the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Hello again.
Hello.
And tell us just a little bit about your background in gardening, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and how you're enjoying becoming the president of the BCGA.
We'll start with that one first. It's a great group. I joined actually as I took the class because I wanted to know more about gardening. I had been gardening for about 20 years, and I had a lot of eclectic knowledge on little things, but nothing cohesive and not as well-rounded. So I took the membership classes, and those helped me learn a lot of things that I may not have sought out on my own. Soils or grasses and things like that. So I've always been very interested in vegetables and fruits, particularly organic. And so this really helped broaden my knowledge of gardening. And there are some amazing gardeners in the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Even outside, many, many incredible gardeners up here. And you have to be a really good gardener up here because we have some challenges for sure. We came here, my husband and I came here with our children about 12 years ago. And I think that first year really terrified me because we had an extremely hard frost in October. And it frosted all the way until June. I think it even snowed that year, like around 4th of July. And that's when I decided that I needed a greenhouse and really expanded my gardening skills.
I have to share a story, too, because my husband and I moved here from Minnesota about 8 years ago, and I came here under the assumption that the climate would be milder, and in many ways it is, but my first summer, I got very busy and, you know, started a lot of tomatoes and basils, all the things that are a little bit tender, and here comes June, and on June 12th, it frosted my entire garden. June 12th! Could not believe it. Yep. So it is a learning process to garden in the panhandle.
Definitely. And then we sometimes have to deal with large amounts of hail, 50-mile-an-hour winds, and it can be really challenging.
Yes. Well, tell us about your experience with vegetable gardening and really what you enjoy about it, and how's it going this year?
This has been a tremendous year, despite some blight that we've had to deal with. But I particularly was interested in fruits and vegetables because I wanted my children to enjoy vegetables, and I think one of the best ways to get them to do that is to have them just eat them straight out of the garden. And so my children grew up with the peas and the tomatoes and things that they could go out and eat, and they loved that, and it gave them a great opportunity to learn how to work really hard, as well as destroy cabbage butterflies.
And earn some college money at 5 cents per butterfly moth.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, let's talk about what you're dealing with this time of the year. It's late summer and it's early fall coming in, and it's more or less harvest time, isn't it? What's going on?
It's quite incredible. It is an all day, every day picking. There's cucumbers and zucchini and tomatoes and onions and pumpkins and green beans and just this tremendous amount coming in that you have to find something to do with it. Just piles up in the kitchen. And so we're doing a lot of pickling. My family will only eat pickled green beans. Put a little garlic, little dill in there. They love those. We dehydrate a lot. I love to dehydrate the tomatoes. That's my favorite way of preparing them because they're really versatile and surprisingly take up very little room once they're dried down.
Those guys start out so juicy and wet. They turn out so tiny. And the three of us are all here looking at a just lovely jar of dried tomatoes that Karen has brought for me. And I can't wait to nibble on some more of them. They're delicious. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a commercial dehydrator because I dehydrate so much, and it's been very useful for everything, especially herbs, which I do a lot of dried herbs. And the nice part about it is if you have a temperature control, you can do a lower temperature for your herbs and, you know, dial it up a little bit for your vegetables. So it's really nice. We do a lot of freezing. Everything that I freeze on a silicone, you know, mat on a cookie sheet. And then once it's frozen, then bag it all up. But that's another really good way to easily get rid of a lot of things off your counters.
Yeah, and how about blanching with freezing? Or do you just freeze raw, or do you do some blanching?
I blanch my vegetables. So if I want to do peas and green beans, I blanch those, or sometimes even tomatoes, but generally. But my fruits, no.
They just go on the cookie sheet and then into the...
Yep.
Yeah, that's an easy way to go. And you just mentioned freezing. How about storage? Like plants such as your, well, let's say if you're growing potatoes or squashes, where do those go?
So some things I keep in the ground. And I just go out and harvest through the winter as much as I can. And I do that with some carrots. I do have a greenhouse, so I have to admit that I keep a lot of things in there all winter, and I just go out and grab it out of the garden or out of the ground as I need it. But things like potatoes, I do take those out and store them in, you know, cardboard boxes.
Sure.
Or I store a lot. I keep an extra refrigerator because I do store a lot. And I have a storage room that I keep, you know, 55, 60 degrees, sometimes a little bit chillier in the winter, but I keep a lot of things there as well, garlic and onions.
Sure. You sound like you are really storing a lot of vegetables. Tell us, how large is your garden?
Well, I actually have 3 gardens.
Oh, boy.
And a greenhouse and 3 orchards. So I do grow a lot. It's fairly large. I would say the bulk of what I do grow is in the greenhouse. It's 26 by 48, and that produces an incredible amount. As we know, the frosts here are, it's a very short time in between that last frost and the first frost. And so for me, having the ability to grow in the greenhouse has expanded what I could grow. I could never get okra to grow, but I do in the greenhouse, and a few other really delightful things like loofah gourds and melons, which I just had no luck with out in the garden, but they do really well in the greenhouse.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about some fruit trees because I have a neighbor in Sagal who has successfully kept a fig going, but I think they might wheel it into their greenhouse in the winter.
I do the exact same thing. My fig goes in and out.
How nice, though, to be able
to have a summer home and
a
winter home.
What a great plant. I would love to have a fig tree. I guess greenhouse is going to have to go on my list of things that I would like. Neat. Well, let's continue and talk about our fall crops. And we've got, Julie has a note here to ask about ripening secrets, because there are times, of course, when the produce comes in and it's not quite ready, but it's got to come in. Any tips?
Most things ripen really well just in a paper bag. Some things will ripen on their own. Some things really don't ripen after you pick them very well. But a lot of things, like squash, even if your pumpkin's not quite ready, it's still edible. It just won't have that deep flavor that it should. But most things, you can still eat them even if they're not quite ready yet.
Yeah, they don't have to be just picked at the very last moment. Good to know. And then let's talk a bit about cover crops and the prep of the garden beds that are your veggie beds. How do you prep those?
I actually, it's probably not the best thing, but I let my chickens go in my gardens in the fall.
Huh.
And they do an incredible job of, like, if you have wireworms or a lot of really nasty little pests and beetles, they are great at scratching around and picking through and getting those. They do make a colossal mess, and there's some bit of cleanup when they're done. But they mix everything in. They mix all my mulches in. They, you know, debug it. And then when they're done, I just make everything back into cute rows and just strawed over for the winter. So they're my first line after everything's frosted and dead. Then I can go and clean it all up afterwards.
Wow, that's neat. For how long would you say the chickens get to roam around in your garden?
Probably about a month.
That's great.
Yeah, they love it.
Oh, I bet. So what a great way to think about things. What about the fall plantings? What are you planting in the vegetable garden in the fall?
Well, I have an earlier frost than most people, so I can expect my first frost the first, second week of September. If I'm very lucky, a little bit later, I've been known to go out on nights when it's threatening frost. I have a large collection of moving blankets, and I just throw moving blankets over everything that I like and maybe some old quilts and blankets and things, but I try to keep what I can. But the only thing that I really plant in the fall is garlic.
Yeah, that's a common one, typical one. And is it time for that? Should we be planting our garlic?
Not yet. Shop for your varieties, but they say to wait until the middle to end of October around here.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, let's just talk a little bit about some of the, not bug pests, but other things like funguses, etc. Julie has noted here garlic white rot. That's a scary topic, isn't it? That's something that's spreading in the region.
No, I haven't had that problem personally.
Oh, good.
But I think sandy soils help, you know, if you have a little bit lighter soil. And then also, I use a lot of biofungicides. There's some really great products out there that you can try. And just, you know, I use a lot of soil amendments, beneficial nematodes, things in my soils, just to really make your soil as healthy as you can.
Okay.
And then not planting them too deep, which I've been known to do as well.
Oh, yeah. They've got a lot of work to do if they get planted too deep. What about those darn slugs and leaf hoppers? Oh, slugs.
I hate slugs. I do have a problem with those, especially when they get in your cabbages, and it's very unpleasant to have those when you serve them up. But I generally use Sluggo. It's very effective, safe for pets and animals, and it's really does a great job.
What about you, Robin? Do you have any favorite slug remedies? Do you get slugs?
We do, and it's a big problem with the garden because they love the flowers, and they hide, and they come out in the morning or in the evening. We use diatomaceous earth. We as well use Sluggo. We have a lot of area to cover. We've got a wonderful Dustin Miser, a little machine you put the powder in, and we dust all the rows, and it will take your worms, so we're careful what we use. But when we notice them, when the slugs start coming out and we know it's a slug, you can tell slug damage, we try to deal with it immediately because they do procreate at an amazing rate, and they'll destroy the garden. They'll destroy the flowers, and we don't sell anything with a bug bite in it, so then that flower just goes to the compost and goes to the chickens. We feed the compost everything we farm. We feed the chickens, and then we use their poop, and we cover the flowers. So we have a great little relationship, if you will.
You're both chicken owners, which is really interesting, and they sound like they really assist both of you as gardeners. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, the girls are mainstay in my life, and we've had chickens forever. I mean, for my life, it was something I always wanted to do, is be a little chicken farmer. And it's an incredible fertilizer. We shovel the chicken house, and we let it sit for a year because it's too hot. It is one thing that we top dress in the fall with. We put right on top of all the beds once we've cut them all back. And it's great because the snow and the rain feeds the soil, helps it, you know, cool down a little bit because chicken manure is pretty hot.
Yeah, and but by that, I'm sure listeners probably know this, but by hot, you mean it's too much nutrient. It can actually burn the plants.
It will burn the plants. Yeah. If you put it, put it on in the first year, it'll burn everything to the ground. So we try to let it sit, and then we move the pile. You know, we keep piles at the bottom of the garden of all kinds of organic things, and we use those to top dress the whole garden. So we rotate them, and it feeds the soil, and the soil is pretty incredible in the spring then, so
Yeah, chickens are doing a lot for our gardens, whether they're ornamental or a vegetable. Yay, chickens. We thank you for your work. Well, as we start to come to an end of our interview, can you gals believe it's been almost 45 minutes? Doesn't the time fly when you're talking gardens? We typically, at the end of our programs, like to ask our guests and then ourselves, we'll also mention for ourselves what gardening, what aspect of gardening acts as an antidote in our life. And Karen, would you have one you'd like to share?
Absolutely. For me, it's resiliency. The thing that I love most is sometimes in the spring I had some zinnias and they had been in too little of a pot for too long and they looked absolutely terrible and I was just going to toss them in the compost pile. And I felt as though they said, just put me in the ground. And so I did. And now they're big, beautiful zinnias. And it's just that resiliency that, you know, this persistence to live and thrive that is very helpful for me to remember in my life.
That's a great antidote. And that is so true. So many plants, if just given another little chance, will turn things around and look beautiful again. That's a great one. Robin, what would you have an antidote?
Well,
garden,
I agree
life.
With Karen. I think that there's so much life in the garden, and for us anyway, when you go outside and you put your hands in the dirt and see these flowers or the vegetables that you've grown and you harvest them, it's just the circle of life, and it reminds you that, you know, it's a seasonal thing, but if you work and you start again in the spring, it's a pretty amazing thing what happens, and we do have a really short growing season, but I think if you kind of trick the plants, you know, start them early, and be careful when you transplant. I think it's pretty amazing that you can go outside and there's so much life. Even when some things in the world are crazy around us, it saves us. You know, we love that. So, yeah.
Yes, peaceful and as we say, revitalizing. Well, mine is not nearly as interesting as you ladies, but something that I feel like is a bit of an antidote for me is that here in Idaho, when fall comes and a little bit of rain starts coming, it's interesting to see certain things getting green again. Coming from Minnesota, it would sort of go summer, 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 and then you get some cold weather and nothing ever turned green again. So I really love that aspect of living in the panhandle, that even though things go brown and dry for a lot of the summer, we get another little chance at green, beautiful green plants. That's it. Well, I'm going to draw to a close our garden life for this month. And if you've been listening, you know that we had two guests this morning. And the first one was Robin Roberts. And Robin is the owner of Flowers from the Heart in Sandpoint. And you'll be able to find her at the Sandpoint Farmers Market. Thank you, Robin. Hopefully you'll get some folks looking for flowers. And our second guest has been Karen, and Karen is Karen Bennett, and Karen is the newly elected president of the Bonner County Gardeners Association. You both shared some great tips about both ornamental flowers and also with your veggies. I appreciate you both coming here today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks very much, my guests. And now we're going to go to another song, and this one is also related to autumn, The Kinks with Autumn Almanac.